Welcome to WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. We're listening to music from Noah's Flood by Benjamin Britten. This Saturday and Sunday, Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church will present a mini opera, a sacred opera, by the wonderful English composer Benjamin Britten, called Noah's Flood. It's bringing together many, many elements of our musical community. And here to talk about it today is Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church Director of Music, Caleb Williams, as well as professor of voice at Western Michigan University, Carl Ratner, who plays Noah. Welcome, Carl, and welcome, Caleb.
Thank you.
Caleb, I'm going to start with you. You were crazy enough to bring this whole idea to fruition. It's going to be staged Saturday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Let's hear about how it all began.
This wild adventure, it began out of some visioning through this congregation that had lost some of its children's music. And this past year, we started two new children's choirs, and we needed to find a piece that really would feature and celebrate this diversity of music. And this Noah's Flood has been an awesome opportunity for our kids to sing with professionals and every ensemble in the church and community all coming together for this.
So you were a music student once at Western Michigan University.
Indeed.
You also went on to graduate school and further study over on the East Coast.
Correct. Yeah, off at Boston University. Really great place to study both the theology side of things and music and put them together, which is what we're doing here at the church.
Yeah. Is that how you became familiar with the composer, Benjamin Britten?
Certainly. And it's where I became familiar with the piece. You know, it's not terribly well known, though it's since the 2013 centennial of Britten, it's become a little bit more popular. And a colleague of mine who's a friend was doing his doctoral dissertation on the piece. And he's, oh, we need to do a performance. So he pulled me in to sing Noah. And we had this quick, with our couple little church choirs, put together this ragtag performance, and I have relied on him heavily for knowledge of the piece.
Yeah. Ragtag performance. One of the things I truly love about this piece, and I'm getting to know it pretty well as I'm in the recorder section for this performance, is that Benjamin Britten is embracing people of all levels, and he knew about community music making. He came from a small town, mm-hmm. and since he was very young, composing at 11, 12, 13, he was using the resources around him to make music. There's just something so fulfilling about this community opera.
Yeah, the part that really inspires me about the story of this piece is that it's music by the community that is rising from the story of the community. This town that has experienced a really intense and devastating flood out there in Ulford on the east coast of England. And out of all of that destruction comes this story of hope and new life after a flood. And it's a tremendously personal story for all of the folks in that town who then come together and make this wild music.
Carl, is this your first experience singing Noah in Benjamin Britten's Noah's Flood?
It sure is. I had seen a couple of productions of it, and I always thought it was an amazing piece, such a fascinating piece because of coming from the Chester Miracle play. And so, obviously, it's a... Well, first of all, it's from many periods. It has a point of view that comes from many time periods because of that being filtered through the miracle play, being filtered through hymns of maybe a few centuries later, being filtered through Benjamin Britten's unique musical style. And then, as you say, the I think we want to make sure and not give the wrong impression about the piece, because the miracle of it is that it involves everyone in the community, but that it is also an incredibly great piece of music. And the differing abilities and the differing, you know, you've got violins and you've got recorders and you've got bells and all different kinds of percussion and so forth. The all the different sounds coalesce into something that's absolutely magical. And so it's very exciting to me to be a part of it.
Again, my guests are Caleb Williams, Director of Music at Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church, and Professor of Voice Carl Ratner, who sings Noah this Saturday night at 7 p.m. and again 10 a.m. Sunday morning at Portage Chapel Hill. The piece begins with a declaration of Noah's problem, right?
Well, it begins with a hymn. The whole piece, this 50-minute work, is structured around three pillars of hymns, once again rooting it in the community of congregational singing. And once the opening hymn and stormy seas are done, then God steps in.
A very portentous beginning to Noah's Flood. If you tuned in during the music, that is the opening to Noah's Flood by Benjamin Britten and my guest, Director of Music at Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church, Caleb Williams, has brought together how many people from the community, would you say, to perform this?
We've got, you know, a few dozen folks from the community as well as, you know, all those connected to the congregation already. Yeah.
How many will be participating, do you think?
I'd say somewhere around 60.
And our Noah is here, too. Carl Ratner will be singing this part for the first time.
That's true. But my glorious leader here, Caleb Williams, was my student at Western, my voice student, and he is a deep bass. I am a sort of mediumish baritone, and it's interesting that the part would suit both of us, but it the tessitura of it is very good for me. It seems to fit my voice well.
Now, back when Caleb was a student at Western Michigan University, he was lured into the voice studio from his planned major as a percussionist.
He was easy to lure. He really has, it's interesting, this piece really reflects many of his interests, obviously, and he was always interested in choral conducting, though he was originally doing it as a percussion major / choral conducting major, and then the voice department said, well, we really think our choral conducting major should have some voice lessons. And after hearing Caleb, we said, yes, this sounds like a very good idea, because he has a wonderful voice.
You're right, hearing the different voices sing this role, that we all have an image of Noah in our heads as this, you know, great bearded old man, and neither of us quite live up to his 600-some years. But it's been delightful to hear my own teacher take these words that I had tried to interpret once and really bring them to the next level. It's been fun even hearing my wife say, oh, wow, he sings that very well.
Wow, nice.
Now, in this recording, we're listening to a recording made under Britten's supervision in 1961
Correct.
Or so. And that's bringing together, again, as professionals and non-professionals,
right.
Children.
It's most of the group who premiered the piece, then bringing together a new set of professional instrumentalists to support this initial recording just a couple years after the premiere. It's a phenomenal combination of echoing cathedral space and young, bright English children's voices.
Mm-hmm. A great source recording to refer to, but hearing the piece live, of course, the entire space is ringing with voices all around and above. Maybe I shouldn't give too much away.
But... Oh, you can give that away. At least the trumpets and handbells, and then eventually the voice of God from on high, which is voiced very gratefully by Dr. David Little, another one of our WMU faculty.
It is not that common to see Dr. Little in a performance role, and it is very, very exciting to hear his magnificent voice speaking the part of God.
He was born for this one. Oh, yes.
Again, the performances of Noah's Flood, which are open to all and are free of charge, are at 7 p.m. next Saturday, April 25th, and 10 a.m. Sunday, April 26th, at Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church, where my guest Caleb Williams is director of music. So we heard the voice of God just there in the recording explaining what he wanted Noah to do. And during the music, I believe it was Carl mentioned the phrase miracle play and medieval. And I wonder if we could bring some context to this idea of a miracle play.
Well, there are few surviving examples, and they are still or again performed in England. And similar, if you've ever seen in Austria, the Everyman play is another example of these earlier religious dramas. But one thing that's to me always interesting about Britain is his, Caleb has used the word anachronistic, just the way that he sucks things in from different times, and that's part of the quilt that he's putting together. But the miracle plays were community enactments of religious stories.
They're a fascinating tradition, once again put on by community members, not professional actors. These were put together by guilds. If you're picturing the medieval community life, each of the trade guilds would put together a cart. They would drag from town to town in the near area and play this one drama each year, and that many guilds are performing. These are from great Corpus Christi festival, and picture this cathedral in the middle of a medieval village, and around come these carts and wild allegorical plays. And it offers some context that might seem unsavory to a modern audience, the way Mrs. Noah is portrayed as this negative, drunken, you know, sort of foil to Noah's, you know, straight-laced, law-abiding, God, godly man. And it's been difficult to reinterpret that.
I'm sure. And yet, we all dramas need characters who make the story interesting.
Right.
If it's simply a matter of following rules, then we all get bored rather quickly.
Absolutely. It's been very nice to have one of my fellow students from Western, who is now the choir director at Stevensville Lakeshore High School, which happens to be my alma mater. She is playing Mrs. Noah, Miss Katie Rohr, and it is a lovely thing to work with her. And she's finding all those nuance in that part.
Mm-hmm. Katie Rohr as Noah's wife, Carl Ratner as Noah, David Little as the voice of God. Any other people to point out in this story?
Throughout the story, the work is done by Noah's children and their wives. And all women in this piece do not get names, unfortunately. They're all Mrs. someone else. But we have six young professional soloists, ranging from those currently at school for voice to those who have recently completed graduate work. It is a diverse group, but all soprano voices, with one possible exception in a countertenor. as these were written for boys' voices.
Where did you find these students and or young professionals again? You
know, I am so grateful for the arts community in Kalamazoo. This Metro Kalamazoo has pulled together all these networks of connections. One person knows another who would be great for this role. Ooh, they'd be wonderful. And the diversity it just of people who want to sing and make music has been a gift.
There's a certain quality of a miracle about this opera coming together on the weekend. The performances again are 7 p.m. Saturday and 10 a.m. Sunday at Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church. And am I right? They are free and open to the
public.
Both of them.
These are a gift to the community from the church.
Yeah. Right. And it's not a denominational sort of
Absolutely not.
Occasion. It's
Carl and I are definitely on a diverse group already. That's good.
Yes, you've got a lot of denominations going there. When you consider between Noah and myself being Jewish, the church is Methodist, the medieval mystery play would be Catholic because that's all there was then. Britain would be
Anglican,
you know, mm-hmm. So it's definitely a religious diversity going on.
Okay, well, where are we in the story? We've just heard the opening, and maybe you can take it up from there, Caleb.
God begins offering the great directions for building the ark to Noah. Noah takes up those directions and in great fatherly style gets his children to do all the work. So they come in with their tools and are set to work by Noah, giving directions for each part of the construction.
Thank you. vessel we shall be kept, my children and all. I would in elect.
In faith, no, I had as lief no slept, for all life brinish fair, I will not do after thy agree.
Good wife, do now as I did.
Well, we had to fade out in the middle of more story, but I wanted to take another break and catch everyone up on the story of Noah's Flood by Benjamin Britten. The conductor of this work is Caleb Williams. He's my guest this morning, along with Carl Radner. And the performances, there are two, are Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church. Now, where is this church located for those who aren't familiar with
it? Right on the corner of Oakland and Romance in Portage. Very easy to get to.
There's also a website for this church as well, and I Googled it. I don't remember the web address, but I know there's all the information.
PCHUM.org. That's Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist.
Okay.
Yeah, PCHUM.org. And if you are looking for Noah information, pchum.org/Noah.
So the concert details are at
indeed
at the website, PCHUM.org. For those who are interested in this free performance of Benjamin Britten's Noah's Flood. That selection we just heard had many interesting elements to it. Boys' voices, singing along with adult voices, something that Britten, I think, liked to do. He liked the full range, young and old. We heard some great recorder parts, little twitterings. There's a lot of representational sounds in this. Could you talk about some of the things Britten does to make animals and characters come alive?
Absolutely. The loading of the ark is evokes to me Haydn's Creation, the great scene where we get to hear, and it's another bass baritone moment, to hear each of the animals portrayed musically, and then in this Noah's Flood version, we get to see them come trooping in from the back of the church. And Britten designed this to be performed and explicitly in a church or community hall rather than in a theater. He really wanted to keep this out of the opera house. And I think there's something about that reaching into the community that's very intentional. So he designs, we've got birds coming in, and they're the recorders and top violins, and we have, we start with lions and bears and heavy animals that rum, 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 each all marching at a strict, 120 beats per minute, like a Sousa march. It's a lovely chance for each of the groups to come in saying, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy.
I just wanted to say that the selection we just heard, yes, the different instruments coming in and creating different sounds and different feelings that are often linked to some particular animal or situation in the piece. But also, if you just take this piece as a piece of abstract music, it's really about variation, the way that the composer takes, even if you just listen to the baritone melody, which I'll be singing, every verse is different, which, of course, presents its challenges. but every verse is different, and every verse is developed off of the last one. And besides just the colors, the music never gets boring. It's always varied on every repetition. And we'll certainly be talking about that when we get to the flood also.
Mm. I wonder if the most famous piece people know by Benjamin Britten are his variations for orchestra, or young person's guide
to the orchestra.
That's what I'm trying to say, in which he takes a theme by another composer, the great English composer Henry Purcell, and sets it up and puts it all through the orchestra so you can hear every color there. It's also a repetitive piece, mm-hmm. and Caleb, you mentioned during rehearsals a device he's using that's very, very similar in this piece.
Right. The flood is undergirded by what we call the passacaglia, and that's a ground bass type device or there is a base motive over which other harmonies and melodies are developed and repeating itself. And you feel this, talk about portentous, this inevitability about it as the flood grows and the storm sort of swirls over it until eventually, well, maybe we shouldn't give too much away, he uses that device to express the hope and ending of the flood as well.
Caleb, you must be in an enviable position to have the full score and to be able to study, you know, and know what's really going on and not just be looking at one tiny part. This must give you a lot of joy to really see how Britten's genius is working here.
Absolutely. Every day I'm finding new places that are little ingenious twists and little subtle hints and great overarching connections. It's one of those pieces that withstands repetition and really gets richer every time.
It seems to me, Carl, that Western Michigan University's Opera Studio did put on Albert Herring a few years ago. It's been several years.
They did. It was, I think, in 2011, so not that long ago. I was actually not involved in that. I was on sabbatical in Russia and touring around the U.S. at that time.
Can anyone else think of another Britten opera that has been staged in our city in the last dozen years or so?
Nothing is leaping to mind. He wrote some wonderful pieces, including two other church operas, Curlew River and The Burning Fiery Furnace. But pieces like Billy Budd and Peter Grimes and Death in Venice are way too big for our program. But there are others like The Turn of the Screw or The Rape of Lucretia that we could certainly do at Western.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm trying to say is this is a rare opportunity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To hear Benjamin Britten performed in a way that was very meaningful, not only to musicians, but to him as a composer. This was something very dear to his heart. His partner, Peter Pears, a tenor voice, his partner was one of the leading inspirations of his entire life, entire musical career. Mm-hmm. And so to think of Benjamin Britten as just the guy who wrote the theme on Purcell and the introduction to the orchestra, there's so much more there to fall in love with.
Absolutely.
You know, we did have a Britten performance in a church over Christmas, and I'm trying to think what it was.
He has so many. Hymn to St. Cecilia pops up all the time, and the Rejoice in the Lamb. And
we had a singer at Fontana, Nicholas Pahn, who came in and gave a solo, a recital of his songs.
Actually, the choirs did the Hymn to St. Cecilia on their most recent concert brilliantly, I thought. So the thing is that Britten wrote for so many different combinations and situations that it's easy for one person to be familiar with one tiny piece of the puzzle. But it's such a incredible, astonishing body of work.
Now, do the kids in this production find the music difficult? Is it really, really tricky?
Absolutely not. The trickiest part so far has been remembering the words to the hymns. They are involved in two different hymns, and those are trying to remember all the different verses of this antiquated-sounding language, these and thous tucked in there, teaching our children that what those words mean, let alone teaching them the hymns. It's been a joy. But these are hymns that have continued on to be strong in our tradition. That first one we heard has been less popular in the United States, but Eternal Father, Strong to Save, the Navy hymn, has a strong presence in our, even our non-sectarian sort of life as connected to the military. It's a frequent presence at funerals. And the final Talus Canon, third mode melody, is one of those tunes that is infectious, and it's stuck around since the 1500s.
So people who maybe aren't familiar with music history might find surprisingly that they recognize some of the melodies coming forth in this piece. I've led us very far astray, and I'm not sure how to get back to where we're supposed to be in the story. But let me remind folks that this performance of Noah's Flood by Benjamin Britten, led by Caleb Williams, is Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m., and featuring Carl Ratner as Noah and a whole group of children's choirs, two children's choirs that are part of the Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church, other community members, the Kalamazoo Recorder Society, definitely putting in a big presence, some terrific string players.
All connected to the KJSO. That was, I sat down with Bruce Uchimura here at WMU, and he pointed me toward one of his students, Cullen O'Neill, and she's a fantastic young player, and she pulled together her friends who happen to also be some of the top string players in this area, and they have been a joy to work with. So professional and ready to jump in, and they've been holding all the rest of the adults to a higher standard.
And are the bell ringers part of the congregation, or are they part of the Kalamazoo Ringers?
No, well, it's some both, actually. We have, this is our small group of the Chapel Hill Ringers, but at least one of the members is also a member at the Kalamazoo Ringers, who are good friends.
All right, Caleb, I leave it in your hands. How do we get back into this story and into this CD recording again?
We've built the ark, and it's time to load it up with those animals, I think. So we'll get God's directions to Noah.
We're listening to music from Benjamin Britten's Noah's Flood, spelled N-O-Y-E-F-L-U-D-D-E. That is how Benjamin Britten spelled the opera. He must have been following some medieval spelling.
Absolutely.
That's the name of the...
Of the miracle play.
Of the miracle play.
It, once again, reaching back, we've got this 3,000-plus-year-old story from Genesis that's carried through a 1300s oral tradition play that was then written down some 200 years later. So the spelling is really later than the content. Then hymns ranging from the 1500s up through the 19th century and then Britten and today.
It's an amazing piece, just for that reason alone. Noah's Flood will be performed at 7 p.m. this Saturday and at 10 a.m. on Sunday at Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church. The website for more details is pchum.org/Noah, if you want to go to the concert page. And I believe you can also find details on Facebook by looking up Noah's Flood or Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church. My guests this hour are Caleb Williams and Carl Ratner, who's professor of voice at Western Michigan University. Taking time out, I would think, of a fairly busy performing and teaching schedule for this.
It's, yes, we see the end of the semester coming into view now. This is the last week of classes, and next week is exams and juries. So, yes, it's a very busy time.
So why did you take this role?
Oh, well, a zillion reasons, but mainly it's a wonderful role. I am reaching a certain age, perhaps not quite Noah's age, but It seemed to, when I sang through it, it seemed to suit my part, my voice well, and I was very excited to work with my former student and excited about the whole community participation aspect of the piece, and just a great opportunity all around.
Now, you said the recording we're listening to was made in a church in England with Benjamin Britten directing. The dynamics really hit the ceiling at certain points. You are kind of meant to be shocked and awed by parts of Noah's flood.
Absolutely.
It must make the percussionist in you very happy.
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. The combination of timpani and cymbals and bass drum, and he brings in the low double bass at that moment too. Then another WMU connection is Carl Doubleday, former concerts manager, is playing organ, and he is bringing the house down. It is some beautiful registration that gets to happen in this sanctuary that we're opening up.
The flood is definitely one of the most exciting parts of Noah's flood. I guess it would almost be a great competition for composers to compose a flood and see how different people would stage it and do it. Benjamin Britten certainly uses this incredible medieval device, this passacaglia, but the drama of it makes me at least forget there's any sort of formal musical cleverness going on.
That's funny you mentioned a competition. It was at the very same time that Stravinsky was working on The Flood. So this was, there was in a way a competition with the same content.
Same source.
Yeah.
You're kidding. Igor Stravinsky, his contemporary, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a piece by Stravinsky called The Flood.
And there is. It's the same same show, different tune.
Voices, and characters and everything?
Yeah, it's the same story. It's wild, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Caleb. You might have to
next year, we'll
set
see
aside.
The Flood, the sequel.
What are some of your... this is a really ambitious thing. You've been back in town for a year and a half. What are some of your other possible ideas coming up?
Well, we are... You know, our singers are aging, so we're opening up hopefully a third children's ensemble to really focus on meeting these children where they are at their own developmental level. And as we do that, we're going to be extending our other ministries out further into the community. That's really what my goal is there, because the privilege of working with so many musicians and the resources that are in Portage and Greater Kalamazoo, they just need to be connected with one another. It has been amazing to spread the news, and I find myself, you know, I come up, begging someone, oh, please play, and they're almost, you know, to a person, they've been, oh, of course, I'd love to, and let me bring some friends. I don't know how I could have done this without the number of folks who just want to make good music.
Any final thoughts on this performance coming up Saturday and Sunday before we hear The Flood?
Mostly that this is a wild adventure for me, for the church, and for the community. And I hope that everyone will come with their ears ready to hear and eyes ready to witness the wild story that Britten has laid out for us.
How about you, Carl?
I just think whoever comes to this, whether they're a seasoned music lover or a person interested in the biblical story or just a family person who likes kids, you know, everybody who walks into that room is going to find something to like about this production.
Well, Carl Ratner and Caleb Williams, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Children, methink my boat removes over the land of water.
Noah's Flood will be presented at Portage Chapel Hill United Methodist Church Saturday at 7 p.m., Sunday at 10 a.m. Details are online at pchum.org. Thanks to Caleb Williams and Carl Ratner. I'm Carol Lawrence. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It.